actually building a resource library for industry to use. It's going to be open and available, open source, to rise the tide for all of industry.
One of the things I saw was obviously there was a pressure to move the produce across the room. And I think that that pressure is real in the actual industry itself, obviously.
Why don't we flip the model? And instead of sending my data to somebody else who just wants to get a check mark out of it.
Welcome to Supply Chain Symphony, where we untangle the complex global networks that bring the products and services we love to life. Join me, your host, Drew Zabrocki, as we explore the technology, leadership, policy, and innovation that shapes the systems we all rely on, even when we don't see them working behind the scenes. Over the next four episodes, we'll take you deep inside the hidden systems that feed our world and the revolutionary changes that are happening right now to streamline information exchange throughout the entire food supply chain. In this series, you will hear directly from farmers, distributors, retailers, and innovators who are working to create more efficient, transparent, and responsive food systems. You'll discover how improved data flow and collaboration are transforming the industry, leading to better business outcomes, increased sustainability, reduced waste, and ultimately, better experiences for us, the consumers. In our first episode, The Tomato's Journey, we're going to follow this fruit from farm to table as a lens to understand the broader information challenges and opportunities throughout the supply chain. Every day, all around us, an invisible choreography unfolds. It's the movement of fresh food, from where it's grown to where it's consumed. It's one of humanity's most impressive achievements. And yet, the underlying information systems powering this movement are often disconnected, inefficient, and outdated. That sound? Well, that's information failing to flow properly through the supply chain. When data gets stuck, distorted, or lost, the consequences cascade. Operations become less efficient, business costs rise, and yes, food waste increases. Almost one-third of all food produced globally is never consumed. That represents just one of many symptoms of suboptimal information systems. So to understand the full scope of this challenge and the opportunities for transformation, I joined a gathering of industry leaders from around the world and across the food supply chain. They were tackling these very issues. It was winter in Las Vegas, and I found myself in a large conference room filled with farmers, distributors, technology providers, and retailers. All focused on reimagining how information flows through the food distribution system. One of the program leaders, Steve Allerts from FoodCare Plus, he opened the session by framing the importance of this work.
It's literally happening, and you're all a part of that. Today, we gather to tackle one of the shared challenges, or maybe I should say, work together on a great opportunity. One that lies in the heart of the fresh produce industry and deserves action.
Steve was emphasizing that improving supply chain isn't just about fixing problems, it's about seizing opportunities. By streamlining information exchange, the industry can unlock tremendous value. Food waste is one visible symptom of the current inefficiencies, as Steve highlights.
There's a picture made not so long ago in the Brussels fresh produce terminal market, a couple of months ago. But still, it could have been a picture taken in North America or Asia. There are many thousands of places worldwide where these fresh produce waste piles are showing up. So that's a pity.
So to better understand these challenges, the conference participants, they engaged in this cool exercise called the Tomato Experience. It was a hands-on simulation where each person played a role in the supply chain. So they would track actual tomatoes. Actually, they were really cool GS1 stress ball tomatoes. And they moved them through this simulated supply chain, often like hucking them at each other, but having fun actually doing the work with paperwork, quality checks, logistics decisions, the whole mess, all the way through the supply chain. So then after the exercise,
everyone got together and they shared their observations. And we had huge whiteboards all around the room and gave everybody sticky notes to put on these boards to document all of the information gaps, the friction points, anything that they experienced during this exercise. It was a great collaborative approach, and it revealed insights from every segment of the supply chain. It wasn't just an icebreaker. It actually exposed how easily delays, errors, blind spots emerge even from a room of supply chain professionals. So let's start where our food begins, in the field. Aaron Ault occupies a unique position in this conversation. He's both a working farmer and the founder of the Open Ag Technology and Systems Center at Purdue University. He understands firsthand the challenges that growers face in both producing food and participating in the broader information system.
Well, the main idea was that since I am a grower, the growers are the most important people in the chain. So that was big pink sticky in the middle. No. There was a clear feeling I got from the pink stickies that were coming up and a lot of the issues that showed up and actually the data that people recorded in the grower phase that the supply chain, everything from the grower forward is largely an imposition on the grower. Like the grower's job is make the food. Everything else everybody else wants is in their interest.
This insight highlighted a fundamental misalignment in our food system information architecture. Farmers are focused on growing food. Their primary information systems are designed around production, not supply chain visibility. Yet the rest of the chain demands additional information from them, detailed data collection, specific packaging information, certifications, and precise scheduling. While this information exchange benefits the overall system, it often creates additional burdens for farmers without providing them any equivalent value or the infrastructure to efficiently participate. And so this misalignment creates friction right at the source of our food system. And the result? Frustration, fatigue, and a growing sense that the system takes from the growers more than it gives.
We got a lot of stickies about weather. Apparently weather is somewhat unpredictable. I thought at the age of AI we had that figured out yet, but we haven't figured that out yet. And so the unpredictability of weather, it looked like it had all kinds of, you know, just threw all kinds of monkey wrenches into this grower process.
Heron's wry humor highlights a humbling truth. For all of our technological advancement, we still can't control or perfectly predict external variables like weather. This unpredictability creates information challenges throughout the entire supply chain. When weather disrupts production, the reality suddenly diverges from the planned schedule, creating ripple effects throughout every downstream system. Making matters worse, our current information systems often lack the real-time flexibility to adapt quickly to these disruptions. They're optimized for steady-state operation, not dynamic responsiveness to changing conditions. As our tomato moves from the field to the packing house to distribution centers, new information exchange challenges emerge. The tomato experience simulation at the conference revealed these vivid details. One particularly revealing observation came from someone monitoring the simulation.
One of the things I saw was obviously there was a pressure to move the produce across the room. And I think that pressure is real in the actual industry itself, obviously. But what happened was, is I saw that actually the documentation had come in incorrectly and they knew that that was the case. And they could see that it was off by a single number. So they went ahead and just drew it in there because the pressure to move it across.
This observation captures the constant tension between information accuracy and operational speed. Fresh produce is perishable, creating immense pressure to keep physical product moving. This same pressure can lead to compromises in data accuracy. In the simulation, participants chose speed over information accuracy, just as often happens in the real world. While this kept product flowing, it created inaccurate records that could cause information problems downstream, affecting everything from inventory management to quality control to financial reconciliation.
Another participant, who played the role of a store manager, highlighted how these information disconnects affected the retail end of the chain.
So for us, it was extremely challenging to get things in through handwriting, and some things weren't even documented correctly. I think our purchase orders, we didn't even have the purchase order number match the purchase order number from the driver. And the driver had left, and so we had to call the driver back to make sure that we had received everything correctly.
This observation points to the remarkable persistence of paper-based, manual processes in an age of digital technology. Handwritten information creates transcription errors. Different systems use different formats and code, requiring constant translation. These inefficiencies don't just create administrative costs, they slow down operations, delay payment, create inventory inaccuracies, and ultimately reduce the system's ability to deliver peak quality products to consumers. The data dilemma. As our tomatoes move through the supply chain, it's not just physically traveling, it's generating potential business intelligence. Temperature readings, quality assessments, location updates, handling details, all of this information could help optimize operations, predict product performance, and ensure peak quality at every stage. But who owns that data? Who should have access to it? These questions about information governance emerged repeatedly at the conference.
But we always look at somebody else as the person who needs to share the data, except Aaron, we always target you. But in general, we're always like, it's somebody else. What would it take for you to share your data? Is it in-kind data from another specialized part of the supply chain? Is it access to a greater data pool? Or is it just straight up money?
This question cuts to the heart of one of the most persistent challenges in modernizing our food supply chain's information architecture. Everyone agrees that better data sharing would improve business outcomes, but each participant has legitimate concerns about sharing their own information. The result is a fragmented information landscape where critical business intelligence remains siloed, preventing the kind of end-to-end visibility that could dramatically improve efficiency, quality, and profitability for everyone involved. Chuck Tillman from Walmart offered an interesting perspective on how retailers are trying to address this information sharing challenge.
Generally speaking, we're working today with several suppliers who are sharing their quality data with us to help us know how to prioritize whether we need to inspect it downstream in our distribution centers. And it's really helping us to be more efficient. And so, you know, I'll go back to the criteria being, does it help the customer save money and live better? If it helps the company to save money and live better, then I'm going to want to share whatever data I can upstream to make that vision happen.
Chuck's approach focuses on mutual benefit, finding ways that information sharing can create value for everyone involved, not just the data recipient. Lainey Moles from Driscoll's, the berry producer, shared a similar philosophy.
So for our transportation carriers, we let them see our pulp temperatures, our warehouse temperatures. We share the in-transit temperatures that we see. We'll even share with them reject rates at receivers, all in an effort to help see how their portion of the supply chain impacted that receiving quality, which again, ultimately goes back to how we're managing that consumer experience.
Driscoll's approach is particularly notable because they're sharing information that could potentially be used against them, like rejection rates at receivers. But they've recognized the value of improving total system performance through collaboration. It outweighs the risks of increased transparency. But Aaron Alt offered perhaps the most insightful takeaway on why information sharing remains challenging.
The question was all cost and no benefit. So almost asking that question of like, how do you feel about sharing data is almost worthless, because it's sort of like sharing it for what? If I'm going to share it with you to get something, to get that incentive, that's the question we really have to ask. And, you know, for me, monetary incentives, the problem I have with them is usually they're so low. I add up the total for the year, can't hire somebody to do that. You know, like it's just, it's marginal. And so the best ones are the ones that improve my own efficiency.
Aaron articulates something crucial. For information sharing to work, the benefit must exceed the cost for each participant. The most compelling incentive is when sharing information actually improves the data provider's own operation, making their business more efficient or productive. This reciprocal value creation is essential to unleashing the full potential of a truly connected food system. Well, that brings us to trust and technology. Throughout our tomatoes journey, one word kept appearing in these discussions: trust. It emerged as perhaps the most critical ingredient in building a more efficient, information-rich food supply chain.
We live in a very low trust environment right now. We don't trust the government. We don't trust large companies. We don't trust our neighbors sometimes. And so how do you take these concepts and turn it into a way that people can say, I trust Walmart, or I trust Driscoll's, or I trust this entity to be able to provide me with good, healthy produce that's going to last?
Chuck identified a fundamental paradox of our time. We're increasingly connected through technology, yet increasingly distrustful of institutions and each other. Building information exchange systems requires coordination across organizational boundaries. Farmers trusting distributors, distributors trusting retailers, and everyone trusting the shared systems that facilitate their collaboration. Laney Moles of Driscoll's pointed out another fascinating paradox.
We want our consumers to trust us, our customers who trust us, who, as a reminder, are all of us, right? We shop at all these places. But yet when we talk about the data, it's like we have a lack of trust within the supply chain. Like, I don't want you to see this because I don't trust you'll understand this information.
Eleni highlights something profound. The same companies asking consumers to trust them often struggle to trust each other with the information that could improve their own operations. This disconnection undermines the effectiveness of the entire system. Well, if data is so valuable and trust so fragile, how do we build systems that encourage sharing in an environment where competitive pressures run deep? This brings us to one of the most innovative proposals discussed at the conference, a radical new approach to information architecture. Aaron Alt proposed.
And so if the problem is that we have to send data to somebody else and we don't know what they're going to do with it, well, why don't we flip the model? And instead of sending my data to somebody else who just wants to get a check mark out of it, why don't we send the code that produces the check mark to the data? So your data can stay in your own platform where you have control over it and you know what it's for. And the other guy can get his check mark and know that the check mark I got was actually from the code that I thought was running. Can we just share the answers instead of sharing the data?
This is a profound shift in thinking about information architecture. Instead of requiring farmers and other supply chain participants to send their raw data to central platforms where they lose control over how it's used, Aaron proposes sending the questions to the data. The information stays under the control of the original owner, but partners can still get the specific business intelligence they need. Aaron calls this concept smart data escrow, a way for supply chain members to engage insights without exposing all of their proprietary information.
And so, you know, for me, by 2034, I'd love to see that escrow concept applied to this problem. That instead of, they have data escrow, where you just give somebody data and they hold it and then they guarantee that they have the data. It's great for FSMA kind of things, right? Now you have a guarantee that I have all the traceback stuff that I need if somebody needs it. But if we make it smart data escrow, where now these check marks are the things that someone can now run on the data, maybe even in real time. You're still in control of your data. Everybody downstream got the answers that we needed them to have for our product to happen.
Well, this proposal inspired Michael Darden of DFM Data to draw a fascinating comparison.
And when I first started looking at interoperability, I thought it was the thing that we really wanted to be able to get to. But then I ran into that providence issue, right? Of you're seeing my data and now you have my data in your database and you're saying it's your data and it's not your data. Mm-hmm. The word that came to me was actually shared to me by a guy that was completely out of our industry. And he said, what we need is interconnectivity.
The distinction that Michael makes between interoperability and interconnectivity is subtle, but important. Interoperability suggests that systems can exchange and use data, which often means sending your information to someone else's system, whereas interconnectivity implies systems can communicate while maintaining their independence and data sovereignty. These concepts, like smart data escrow and interconnectivity, they're not just theory. They're beginning to take shape through technologies like federated learning, distributed intelligence, private compute, secure enclaves, and zero-knowledge proofs. These approaches allow parties to verify information without exposing underlying data, creating new possibilities for collaboration, even in low-trust environments. So in conclusion, we've traced our tomato's journey. We've uncovered a fundamental truth. The food supply chain's greatest challenge isn't physical movement, it's information flow. The disconnected, manual, and low-trust information systems of today create inefficiencies that cascade through every stage of the journey.
So we're actually building a resource library for industry to use. It's going to be open and available, open source, so that it's licensed free, able for everyone to use, to rise the tide for all of industry. You're not going to make money by jailing your customers' data and siloing them. You're going to make money by adding value in the supply chain.
This vision represents nothing less than a revolution in how we think about supply chain information. The future isn't about hoarding data. It's about creating systems that let the right insights flow to the right places at the right times, while respecting ownership and competitive boundaries. The implications are profound. Businesses become more profitable, operations more efficient, product quality improves, and environmental impact decreases, all through the power of better information exchange. We stand at the threshold of this transformation, where smart data escrow, interconnectivity, and trust-building collaboration could create a supply chain that works better for everyone. Growers, distributors, retailers, and ultimately all of us, consumers. Join us next time on Supply Chain Symphony, when we'll explore the concepts of data as a missing ingredient in supply chains, examining how better information can transform operations at every stage from farm to fork. I'm Drew Zabrocki. Thanks for listening. You can learn more about supply chain innovation and smart data escrow in our resource library at supplychainsymphony.com. There's a link to our episode in the description, and that includes additional case studies that we didn't have time to cover. This episode was produced by me, Drew Zabrocki. We had editing from Martha King, who left the event with a box full of tomato stress balls, making her the best mom ever. Mixing and sound design from James over at Next Day, fact-checking by Sarah Jane, music licensed from Envato. And Rob Trice, well, he was last seen muttering, "I can track a tomato across 7 countries, but I can't find my car keys," before he disappeared into the conference room with 3 boxes of sticky notes. And we'd like to thank the International Fresh Produce Association for their leadership in the Supply Chain of the Future initiative, and the innovative companies leading the movement, including GS1, ASTM, Copeland, DocFlow, FoodCare Plus, Driscoll's, Del Monte, Duda Family Farms, Missionero, Super Fresh Growers, Belgian Fruit Valley, Walmart, Sam's Club, Sobeys, Tesco, and many, many more. Thanks, as always, to Totem Innovation for bringing this project to life. And if you have thoughts about the show or your own supply chain stories to share, send us an email. Reach us at connect@supplychainsymphony.com. And you can also leave a review or a rating wherever you listen. It really helps us, and we appreciate it. Supply Chain Symphony is part of the Totem Innovation Network, and we'll be back next week with our deep dive into data as the missing ingredient in food supply chains. Until then, remember, in a world full of information silos, be a bridge.